All right, appreciate you being here this morning. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 14, would you? Isaiah 14. Not an unfamiliar passage to you, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. This is a passage, of course, about the fall of Lucifer. This is the only place in the Word of God where the word Lucifer is found. It's the only place you know of Satan's name before he fell from his anointed and lifted up a high place. Became Satan after that. Became known as Satan after that. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And God's answer to that was, "No, you won't." But let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your love to us. And Father, you are kind enough to show us where things first went wrong. And we appreciate that. This spiritual adversity began all the way back there all those years ago with the anointed cherub falling, becoming Satan. Lord, we know that a lot of things have transpired since then as well. Pray here this morning you might give us some insight into some of the battles we face, and pray you'd help us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, again, Isaiah 14 is the fall of Satan. Satan's problem was that he aspired to something that he was not called to go do. He aspired to a place that was not his. What did he try to do? He tried to bypass something. He tried to circumvent, I guess you'd call the design of the Creator, not just the design of the Creator. He tried to circumvent the Creator himself, tried to become like the Most High, right? Satan's sin was circumvention. I know it's kind of a long word, but think about this. Satan always deals with men out of his basic fallen attributes. He's proud, right? He's envious. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He is actually merciless. Correct? Start thinking about that, and I got thinking about the fact that, yes, in all those things, we are quick to ascribe pride to the devil. That's true enough. My question for you is, what will that pride and that envy and that precipitousness, that presumption, what will it lead you to do? If you're not careful, Satan will lead you to try to bypass something, to circumvent something. I'd like to talk to you for a while about that this morning. Think about the idea of circumventing something, trying to go around something. Here you have, for instance, Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil comes to her and says, "Can't you eat of every tree in the garden?" She says, "No, we can't eat of every tree. There's one tree, the Lord said, we could not eat of." He said, "Don't worry about it. You'll not surely die." What did he try to get Eve to do? He convinced Eve she could circumvent what God said and do what she wanted to do anyway. Right? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He is now facing the final temptations by the devil. He's hungry. He's weak. The devil says, "Don't worry about it. Just take these stones and make them bread. Just circumvent the natural processes. Just cut this trial short and just do this now and you can have a full belly. In just a few minutes, just do it now. Just circumvent this one natural law." Right? Then he says, let me take you up on the temple, the pinnacle of the temple, and what I want you to do, I want you to jump. After all, the Bible says the Lord will save you. He'll keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. Just jump. And in so doing, the devil was asking Jesus Christ to circumvent a context of a scripture the devil was quoting in. But the devil didn't honor the context of the scripture. He was asking Jesus Christ to go around something the scripture said to do something. He says, let me show you all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. Look out there, look at that and that and that and that. And if you will bow down and worship me, all this can be yours right now. Now, we know eventually, Lord, that the entire world will be yours anyway. You're going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the millennium. You're going to be the King of everything down here. All the kingdoms of the world will become yours. But rather than waiting, circumvent waiting, circumvent all the years, circumvent all the things that need to happen first, and just bow down to me now, and you can have them now. The devil, just about every time you find him, wants you to circumvent something, to go around something, to bypass something necessary. Now look, folks, we live in a world, I guarantee you, if, ladies, you may not get this, but I guarantee you, if you have a car, there's an issue with friction in the engine. And if you don't have any oil in the engine, you are going to have a problem. You cannot continue to have a car work and circumvent the application of lubricant. Nor can you have a car run and circumvent the application of gasoline or diesel. We make room in a way for gravity every day of our lives. We don't get up in the morning and climb up on top of the house and jump off. Because you understand that every single day that you live, every moment that you're awake and alive, you have to, in one way or another, take into account gravity, because that's one of the laws that we live with, just like friction, right? Now, we live in a day, folks, where increasingly folks think they can circumvent things. For instance, just going beyond the Bible to, for instance, social things or political things for the moment, we now have in what is arguably the greatest country in the world, a Bible-based country, a country that was built on freedom and entrepreneurship and so on. You now have this huge cross-section of our society that believes that they have the right to live off the dole of everybody else. Now, they're, in other words, they think it is their place, their right, and their privilege to eat out of somebody else's pocket, to live out of somebody else's pocket. They essentially are many times, in many sections, are actually paid to be an illegitimate baby factory. And when you start talking about cutting taxes or whatever, boy, they just have a fit. Now, my goal is not to get political this morning. I'm just saying, got news for you. If you're going to eat, somebody has to pay for the food. Now, if you don't pay for it, somebody else has got to pay for it. If you're going to have health care, somebody's got to pay for the health care. Maybe it doesn't come out of your pocket. It does come out of somebody else's pocket. Again, you have an entire cross-section of society now who thinks they have the right and privilege. And in fact, if you infringe on that privilege, boy, are they upset in a hurry. They should be able to eat and live and buy their TVs and their appliances, their cars and their gas and their health insurance and all that out of somebody else's pocket. Got news for you. That doesn't work that way in real life, right? Somebody has to pay. People are trying to circumvent the system. That is how far Satan has conducted himself and deceived the world to the point that we have literally millions of people who think that it is their right to not have to take anything out of their pocket to live. Folks, that is spiritually true as well. Satan is a master of convincing folks they can circumvent something necessary. Let me talk to you about that for just a little while. Title of this message is Circumvention. There is a blue-collar term that says, or a phrase, I suppose, that says, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And there's not, because when you go somewhere and get a free lunch, if you didn't pay for it, somebody else did. And if the guy sitting to you didn't pay for your lunch, somebody else, somewhere else, did. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. What you're trying to do is circumvent something that's necessary. I want to talk to you about that. First of all, I want to take you all the way back to Genesis 3. I mentioned Eve a little while ago. I just said that Satan convinced Eve that she could eat of that tree, that it wasn't a problem, that she would not surely die. That is the first thing that Satan did to man. I'd like to say, Satan would like to convince you of a paradise without precepts. You cannot circumvent precepts to get to paradise. Here is Adam and Eve. They are a perfect man, a perfect woman. She did no dirty socks. She did not have to iron his clothes or anything else. It was a wonderful life. And you figure, look, folks, I don't think I could do better, by the way. Okay? But if the devil could deceive two perfect people in a perfect place, in a perfect atmosphere, don't you think that you better be vigilant? Because I know you're not perfect, and I know you don't live in a perfect place in perfect surroundings. Don't you think the devil might be able to get you to try to circumvent something to get paradise without precept? For instance, the Bible says you must be born again. Here's what the devil would like to convince you of. He would like to convince you that there is a place, that there is a wonderful, beautiful, marvelous place that feels so good and is so good. And there are no rules, there are no boundaries, there are no standards, there are no precepts. You can just go there and be there. The old Epicurean philosophers used to believe that you could live any way you wanted to, do anything you wanted to, eat, drink, and be merry, just eat and eat and eat, spend and spend and spend, and live a life of absolute debauchery, and everything would still be fine. That came through in the hippie movements back in the 60s and 70s, 50s and 60s, I suppose, where the hippies decided they could throw out marriage and they could just live, you know, food, sex, rock and roll, and everything would be fine, everything would be grand. And while that was the day of the hippies, it has reincarnated itself in many ways and other groups as we go along in time. Maybe today the Gothics are like that or whatever. My point is, Satan is really good at convincing folks that there is a paradise without precept. You know? They say, for instance, there's a way to lose weight. You don't have to diet and you don't have to exercise. Guess what? It doesn't work. You're going to have to diet and you're going to have to exercise to lose weight. What's my point? Well, my point, ladies and gentlemen, is that Satan would convince you, has convinced many hundreds of thousands, many millions, that they're going to go to a paradise. They can live like they want to live. There are no rules. They're going to go to a place and there is no standard for getting in that place. There is such a thing as a heaven. You don't have to be born again to get to heaven. But the Bible says you do have to be born again. There is no paradise without precept. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Every time you get in your car, you have to deal with friction. And if you don't, your car is going to blow. Every time you get up out of your chair, you have to deal with gravity. There is no paradise without precept. The devil's job is to get you to think that there is a happy, wonderful, marvelous place for you to go where there are no stipulations. There are no rules to get there. There are no precepts to be there. Now listen, I'm a Christian. To be absent from the body for me is to be present with the Lord. I am going to paradise. I am going to a place, by the way, as far as I know, where there are no rules, where everyone will have the mind of Christ. It's going to be a wonderful place. Do you know how I got there? How I get there? I get there by understanding and having my faith founded precept upon precept, line upon line. And a man must be born again to get there. There is no paradise without precept. The devil would have you believe there is, but there's not one. I'd like you to note something else. The devil, by the way, further convinced Eve that there was privilege with no responsibility. He said, the day you eat of that fruit, you're not going to die like God. Ye shall not surely die. You should have the privilege of eating that tree. Don't worry about it. Eve learned real fast that there was a responsibility to that privilege. And when she partook of that privilege of that tree, she paid for it dearly, and the day they ate thereof, they did surely die. Correct? Cain learned that there was a responsibility for his actions. David learned there was a responsibility for his actions. Achan learned when he took the Babylonish garment and the gold and the silver, there were repercussions for his actions. Listen, folks, there is not a place where there is privilege without responsibility. Okay? The devil would convince you that you have every right to partake in certain things and that there is no responsibility to it. I want you to know something. There is no such thing as a free lunch. The devil says there is such a thing as a free lunch. There is no such thing as a free lunch. We live in a day where, since the 60s, people could go out and live like they want to live. And if a girl gets pregnant, she gets to go down to the abortion clinic and have her baby aborted. What is that? Well, aside from killing her offspring, that is somebody partaking in a privilege and not wanting the responsibility. They want to get rid of the responsibility, right? Adultery, fornication, that's what that is. Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed's undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. You know why? Because there is responsibility that comes with a privilege. Correct? If you're going to partake in the privilege, there has to be a responsibility to it. Somebody is supposed to do things the right order and the right way with patience and prayer, seeking the will of God and allowing God time to sanctify the privilege. Instead, today we live in a day where folks go like cats and dogs and it's not sanctified. And you live in a day today where folks are living out the responsibility of it. Those privileges today are being paid for in lunacy, madness, depression, guilt, conscience, and all manner of other things. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no privilege without responsibility. I imagine a day, the great white throne judgment. I can't imagine the number of people that will wind up at the white throne judgment that once they realize where this is going, they must certainly turn to Satan and said, you said that we could partake in this and do this and there would be no repercussions. You said we could have privilege without responsibility. And the devil stands and says, I lied. Right? I lied. There is no privilege without responsibility. The devil would circumvent it. The devil would convince you to circumvent it. But there is no such thing as a free lunch. It applies to 1,000 things. Look in Matthew chapter 16, would you? talking about circumvention. The fact the devil will try to get you to circumvent a process, a step, in order to get to something. And you don't pay the price for it. You don't honor the standard. Again, Christ said, you must be born again. You don't get your sins forgiven unless you're born again. You don't get to heaven unless you're born again. You don't. Matthew chapter 16, and notice verse 21. Matthew 16, 21. And notice, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem. Notice, He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, now just following that, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now it said there that Jesus Christ started showing His disciples that He had to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the scribes and Pharisees and to be killed, and that He would then rise from the dead. In other words, before Jesus Christ could ascend back to heaven and go back to His glory, there was suffering involved. It says in Luke chapter 24, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? Satan would have you believe there is glory without suffering. I want you to know there is no glory without suffering. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Jesus Christ, before He could re-enter back into His glory, had to die for your sins, suffer a completely agonizing death and humiliating death in your place, and rise from the dead. And then He could enter into His glory. Now look, the reason I read you this passage is because notice, after talking about Christ having to suffer to enter into His glory, notice what was said to the disciples as well. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now let me turn you to one more place here. Look in Romans chapter 5. You're called to walk in Jesus Christ's steps. I'm talking to Christians here right now at this moment. Look in Romans chapter 5. There's a funny idea going around these days, has been for some time, that Christians ought to be rich, happy, and healthy, and rich. And happy, and rich, and happy. And things are not supposed to go wrong. The Bible testifies, ladies and gentlemen, that we are called in some measure to suffer the same sufferings as Christ. The old-timers used to say, this life is a veil of tears. Okay? That's not Bible. But it is biblical. I got news for you. Whether lost or saved, when you go through this life, you're going to suffer trials and tribulations. I got news for you. There is no glory without suffering. Even if you're a Bible-believing Christian, there is no glory without suffering. If we suffer with Him, we'll also reign with Him, right? Now, what I'm saying is this. Look at Romans chapter 5 and notice verse 2. No, I'll start with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good deal. You get to heaven by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Done deal, right? It's a good thing. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Did you know you don't get patience without tribulation? Most of us would say, ask up front that patience is a good thing. We look on somebody with patience and say, oh, he's patient. He's patient. That is a good attribute. Did you know that patience is not developed without tribulation? That's what it says. Notice verse 3. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, folks, we could go through a whole bunch of verses on this. All I'm trying to say here this morning is that if you are a Christian, don't allow the devil to convince you that you can circumvent trials, that you can circumvent tribulations. You're not going to circumvent all your trials and tribulations. Now, I'll grant you, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow certain things, you're going to suffer certain things that you wouldn't have had to suffer if you had not sowed. But nobody gets through this life in a strato lounger, a vibrating strato lounger. Nobody does. Got news for you, there are trials of faith at every turn. And there is no glory without suffering. Everybody in this life passes through trials and troubles. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Nobody gets to heaven by suffering trials. Nobody gets to heaven, however, without suffering trials. You get to heaven by being born again by the Spirit of God. But in being born again and a child of God, God has some things He's going to do for you and to you and through you. And I got news for you. There is no glory without suffering. The charismatics are preaching the devil's gospel. They're saying you can be healthy and rich and happy, and that if you're right with God, absolutely everything will go perfectly right. You can have glory without tribulations. And it's not true. Simply not true. Glory without suffering. Circumvention. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Notice something else. Galatians 6, I just quoted it. Let me go hit it another lick or two. Galatians chapter 6. See, folks, what I'm getting at here this morning is more than anything else, the devil would like to find somebody that's lost and on their way to hell, and convince them that they do not have to be born again. If he can do that, he's got you. However, just because somebody does get born again, because somebody is a Christian and a child of God, does not mean the devil is through with trying to get you to circumvent some things in precept. The devil still wants you to think, as a Christian, there's a paradise without precept. He still would like to see you live your life the way you want to live your life because you have absolute license and absolute liberty. You don't have to obey your father. He would like you to live as if you could have a paradise without any kind of a precept. He would like you to live as if you could have a privilege without any kind of responsibility. And furthermore, he would like to see you live like you could have glory without suffering. Many Christians today are caught up in the idea, you know, it's easy on the flesh. We don't want to suffer. I got news for you, folks. The Lord wants you to go through some things because you need to go through some things. And there is no glory without suffering. Notice something else here. Look in Galatians 6, verse 7. Everybody knows this verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, folks, this is a spiritual law. It is just as much a spiritual law as friction or gravity are physical laws. Okay? You cannot reap without sowing. In fact, turn it around. You can't sow without reaping. I want you to know, as a Christian, the devil wants to convince you that you can reap without sowing. That you should be able to reap all the benefits and all the treasures and all the wisdom without sowing. He would like for you to believe that you can sow to the flesh and to sin without reaping. And I want you to know neither of those things is true. The devil keeps doing this to mankind over and over and over, generation to generation to generation. And it seems that man never learns. He's the same. He's using the same tactics of deceit. He's using the same tactics that are just as obvious as they've always been, and nobody seems to take notice. You cannot reap without sowing. You cannot sow without reaping. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You can't bypass it. You can't circumvent it. Notice something else. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are probably many other of these things that I'm not getting to all of them this morning in voluminous detail. But these are biblical precepts that you can't get around. And the devil will convince you that you can, but you can't. For instance, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Now this is for Christians. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, people are under, I think, the misapprehension today that there can be an action without a reaction. Most boys that grew up in the country, and maybe even those that grew up in the city, for all I know, learned that if you stick a stick in a hornet's nest, there is a reaction that soon occurs in that scenario. I'd like to propose to you that that's also true spiritually. All right? You have here a verse that says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, you have an entire segment of Christianity today that thinks that being saved in heaven, Jesus, and just loving Jesus is all there is and there's not much else to it. They just can't understand why when somebody like me preaches that there would be an expectation on God's part that man should have to go through something, some trial, some tribulation, to increase patience, to increase faith, that sort of thing. I'd like to say one of the things the devil would like to have you circumvent is action without reaction. You know, the Bible says that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons that need not repentance, right? In other words, if we believe the verse, somebody gets saved and gets right, there's a response, there's a reaction in heaven where there's joy in heaven over somebody that does so. Now, you have here a verse before you that says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did you ever decide to do right? I'm not talking about being saved. I'm saying, did you ever come to an altar or in a heart make a decision to do right? To pray more, to study more, to memorize more, to read more, to try to walk with Jesus Christ better today than you did yesterday? Did you ever do that? I imagine when you did that, that the likelihood is pretty good that you experienced some sort of obstacle, some sort of setback very briefly thereafter that served at least to try to thwart you from praying more, reading more, memorizing more, and walking better with Jesus Christ today than you did yesterday. You know, they say that a spider, her feet on her web are so sensitive that when something, even the faintest breeze stirs that spider web, that she all the way across the spider web can feel that vibration and she knows what's going on. And she's going to go get the fly or whatever it is that got itself caught. I want you to know that there's something you can't circumvent. If you're going to try to do something for Jesus Christ. I believe there is a spiritual reaction to it. Look, you're sitting in Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. Look, we believe the Bible. I mean, we. Folks, I believe the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible. I mean the Bible you have in your lap. The devil hates that Bible, despises that Bible. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trust Him to get me to heaven. I trust Him to take care of my sins. The devil hates Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the worst thing that ever happened to the devil. I am called to go out and try to win somebody to Jesus Christ, to talk to somebody about God, about Christ, about righteousness, about sin. The devil hates to hear that stuff talked about. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no spiritual action without spiritual reaction. I know that we would love to make decisions and in some manner, as far as trouble goes anyway, to fly under the radar. You just can't fly low enough under the radar. If you're going to pray, if you're going to witness, if you're going to believe the book, if you're going to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and try to do right, you're not going to fly beneath the radar. You're going to make a decision. I got news for you. The spider knows you made the decision. And there's going to be some things that come back on your plate that are the direct response to you having made the right decision. For all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not a bad thing. It's a law. It's the way things work. If you were in war and you decided to test the enemy's front and you went up and threw a rock and hit the enemy soldier in the head, he's probably going to fire off a couple of shots at you. I've got news for you. If you're going to start praying, if you're going to have a burden for your children, for your wife, for your family, if you're going to have a burden for lost sinners, if you're going to try to start tucking away the Bible, memorizing it and learning it and understanding it, I got news for you. The spider knows. And there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. For all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Got a couple other quick things for you. John chapter 4 real quick. John 4. Just show you a couple other very quick things that the devil would love to convince you that you can circumvent these things. That there is such a thing as a free lunch and there's not. John 4, and go down to verse 24. John 4, 24. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The devil would convince you that you can worship without truth. I believe that Satanism is rampant in the modern church today. I don't mean that there are necessarily pentagrams in the average new evangelical church. I'm not saying that there's human sacrifice going on in the average non-denominational church. I'm not saying that. I am saying that what is called worship is really not worship in truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If the worship isn't sanctified around the word of God, it's not really truth. He said, in vain you do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The modern way to build the church is to bring in a lively, essentially a rock band, get everybody dancing around and feeling good and tell them things they like to hear. And I earnestly and fervently, and maybe you would expect this from me because I'm the pastor after all, But I earnestly and fervently believe that Satanism is regularly practiced in the average church. Because Satan would have you worship, but not in truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth is found in the Word of God. There's one last thing I'd like to show you here. We were here already once this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I would have you know that in Satan's grand scheme, he is more than happy. He is thrilled to have you talk about God. God, God, God. And you love God and you hope God and you pray to God and you believe God. And God, 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 God. The devil would have you circumvent and try to have God without Christ. How many folks have you heard say that they believed in God? I can only say the devils believe and tremble. Okay? The devils believe in God. The devil would have you circumvent Christ to get to God, just like he had Adam and Eve circumvent precept to try to get to paradise, to enjoy privilege without responsibility. You cannot have God without Christ. You do not know God without Christ. I don't mean that you need Mary. I don't mean that you need Peter and Paul and the rest of the saints praying for you as in some churches. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. He is the advocate with the Father, as we said in Sunday school this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible is just down to the bone plain when you get right down to it. Jesus Christ said you must be born again, and He said, by the way, I am the only way, and I am the only truth, and I am the only life. Any other way, it's lies and deceit. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot have God without Christ. To try to do so is to try to circumvent the truth. And many, many millions of people will wind up in hell for doing that very thing. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. Okay? You have to go God's way in God's time. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we are almost universally bathed all the time now in the propaganda of this world. We know that the devil is the god of this world, and we are told all the ways that we can be happy and joyous. Father, we are convinced, at least many are, by the world, that there's a way to circumvent the more unpleasant things, the more necessary things, in order to get to the things that produce all joy and all pleasure. Such a paradise. Father, I just pray that You'd help these ladies and gentlemen here this morning to see and understand. Now, many of them, Father, we are Christians and we've been through this many times. But perhaps there's somebody here that's been trying to live a life and get around some things. It's easy to do. We know that our eternal enemy has always sought to deceive men in that very way. In fact, he sought to deceive Jesus Christ in that very way. Gladly it didn't work. And Father, I pray it might not work for those sitting here this morning. Pray it help us, Lord, to realize that there's no way to circumvent certain things. Most importantly, today, a man cannot get to heaven without being born again. I pray You deal with folks about that. Somebody here has never trusted Christ as his Savior. I pray You help him to trust Christ today Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Turn to number 125. 125. In some ways this morning, I know that probably preaching to the choir, we've been through these principles and precepts many times for those of us that are kind of regular here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Look, nobody's trying to shove you or push you or prod you into some humiliating scenario. I'll tell you somebody that went through a humiliating scenario, though. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore your sins in his own body on the tree, allowed men to flay him alive and hang him up without any clothes on, to die in agony and pay the price for your sins and mine. All that to make a way free of charge for you to have paid the entire price. We're singing a song, Jesus Paid It All. This is the Jesus who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that there is. You can't circumvent him and get to God. You can't circumvent him and get to heaven. And there is no other way to get your sins taken care of. Say, what do I have to do? It's not having to do something. It's you putting your faith and trust in something he already did. If you need further proof, he rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the proof that you need, that he's the real thing. Nobody else ever rose from the dead. If you never put your faith and trust in Christ, today's the day. There's no better day. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Would you trust Christ as your Savior? Father, once again, we stand there with our heads bowed, asking you to speak into hearts. Lord, most of us Christians have fought fights and battles through our lives, in my case, for 40-something years as a Christian. And, Lord, we recognize some of the footprints of the devil and some of the things that we've been through. Pray you'd help us to realize that the devil wants nothing more and nothing better than to circumvent us in going around something that we should be going through. May we not be deceived that, Father, we get to skip steps because we don't. You have a course for us to run. Help us with Paul in the end to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the last, shall we?
Jesus, I my soul to save. brother dug in your prayers as he's trying to wrap up his mom's affairs here. It's a blessing that she was saved. I'm glad that he has assurance about that. That's a good thing. Remember the camp sign-up sheet back there as well. And we'll be keep on praying for Ian and Jacqueline and Tenny. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you here grateful to have been able to partake this morning. Father, I pray you to be with us and grant us safety going home to get some rest here this afternoon and back then again tonight to preach and pray some more. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.